Hey, it's Friday morning, Getaway Friday, January 28th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, heard live every Friday at 11:10 a.m., repeated on Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and on Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Check out the website, wwgh1071.com, for archive programs dating back to March of 2018. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Word Message Sermon airs here on Sunday at 12:15 each and every week, and those can be found on the website too, wwgh1071.com. And we now turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning. It's nice to be in station again. I haven't been in. Last week I was out, and the week before I was with Adam. So we're seeing Scott for the first time in a while.
It's been a while.
And, by the way, Scott, that's a cinnamon roll.
I haven't even had a chance to look at it yet. Oh, that looks good.
And
very
good. Don't those look good?
Those look good. Smells good.
Smells good. But anyway, Frank's with me this morning. Frank Robinson. Frank.
Good morning.
Frank is. Stays so far away from the mic, you'll probably never hear a word he says. But anyway, Frank is here, and I also want to give a shout out to Jeff's Bicycle Shop, and also to Mid Ohio Insurance Solutions, which are just great people, and they support our show. And Jeff just posted a picture the other day. He remodeled the bike shop again, gave it a little more room. They do some neat stuff there. They've got you know, they refurbish and fix bikes for anyone. But like I've said before, they'll work on it. You bring your little kid's bike in that's just a $25 bike, and they'll make it good as new. Or you bring in a $5,000 bike, and they'll make it good as new. And believe it or not, that's not the most expensive bike out there. It's amazing what these guys are paying for these carbon fiber road bikes. Just amazing. But I know Jeff is one that Jeff's a cyclist himself, and actually travels. He does some international biking too. And but anyway, I want to give a shout out to them. It's good to be here. I'm at the church at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect. We're having a lot of neat stuff going on. Team Kid's been going great since we're meeting on the first and third Tuesday in the old K&P Hall, which is two doors down from us, but it's a huge, nice area, and that's worked out well. And a lot of neat things going on. We're actually getting a lot of new young families coming to the church, which is great. Love seeing that go on. It's been a tough winter, though, I have to be honest. A couple of people in the church have lost family members and friends, and not necessarily real old ones either. And we just lost a young man, Zach Taylor, Zach's 39, and had been battling some issues that all stemmed from extreme diabetes and whatnot. And boy, it's tough when you lose them and when they have family at home. So we want to keep those people in prayer. Certainly lift up those that need it. We got some shut-ins right now that can't get out, and some have been moved to nursing facilities, and we just need to remember all those people. So I want to encourage you guys out there today. If you know of people that can't get out or are lonely, stop and see them or give them a call. I feel really bad sometimes because I'm always telling people to do this or asking that they do that or encouraging them to do it. And I know there's some older people out there saying, well, he hadn't talked to me in 2 months. You know what I mean? But the problem is, you know so many, and there are so many, and I want you to know out there that I am praying for you if I know you and know you need it, whether I have a chance to get a hold of you or not. And hopefully when I drop the ball, as I do sometimes, that people in the church pick it up, which I know they do. We have several people in the church that reach out and help these people. We'll go to the store for them, go visit them, go help them. Frank's one of them. Frank not only does a ministry at nursing home.
Help me out. That's
Primrose,
Primrose.
Just slipped my mind.
Yeah.
At Primrose, but he also reaches out to some of the elderly and to veterans. Veterans and certainly people that are in the service. We got a few of those right now that are in the service, and you just try to encourage all those people. Hey, today I want to talk about, I've got this little book, and I just love it. It's called As a Man Thinketh, and this was from somewhere. I've got an old book collection. I and before I get into this book, I want to say something that I'm finding, and I get it, when something impresses me, I like to repeat it. And I hear the narrative so much today, whether I see it on sitcoms or whether I hear it from young people or just the general thought process, that somehow no one was intelligent until after about 1990. 80 or 90. I mean, there were those that were, and I say that tongue-in-cheek. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the past generations were so uneducated and all of these kind of things. And it's really interesting because as I'm finding textbooks, old textbooks from the late 1800s to the early 19, textbooks, students' books, math books, literature books, I'm not sure how well many of our young people would fare in those today. Because they are very, very, very high level in reading. They're very high level in understanding. The challenges that the teachers give in the lesson to pick out certain things, they were really well thought of when they were written in a way of getting people to think for themselves, to understand what they're reading, to understand different cultures. It's just really neat. I'm reading some of this stuff as I'm pulling it out and looking at it last week. And it just so impressed me. That I thought, wow, you know, these people that were in school and would go to school and would go through these lessons, they really got taught and they really learned a lot of things. Even in the mathematics realm, we looking at a mathematics book, and it's I had to laugh. One of the girls that signed one of the books I have, it was a reader from Prospect. It was, there's 8 series in this reader series. This is series number 7. But she called, her principal was the headmaster and the teacher was the headmistress, interestingly enough. You know, the terms they used back then. But, and then the other thing that struck me when I opened this book was there was a newspaper clipping in it that she had pasted in there. And it was put out by the National Education Association, not the same thing we have today, but something very similar. And it said that by age 16, all young people should have read these 40 books, and it listed them. And they were all the old classics, but there were 40 of them. And they're saying by 16, all young people should have read these. And I thought, how neat is that? Because they were different genres, and they were, you know, different styles of books. But I thought, wow, how many kids that are 16 today read even one of those, maybe 2? But they're saying by 16, you should be expected to have read every. And I just thought that was really neat because, you know, reading gives us, really helps us in our thinking process and our knowledge and to understand. I find that as a pastor, the biggest problem with people's growth in the church, people's understanding of things, is they have the Bible right in front of them, but they don't read it. And then when they do read it, and start enjoying it and can't seem to put it down, they seem to start applying those things to their lives, and then it's really neat. But I'm going to read that this book is called As a Man Thinketh, and it's another one of those from the turn of the century that I was going through. And it begins on page 16. A man may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. Think about that. Whether your mind is cultivated or whether it's just allowed to just bring in whatever mush comes down the path, it will grow something. Something will come from it. If no useful seeds are put into it, then the abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. Just as a gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and fruits which he requires, so may a man tend the garden of his mind, weeding out all the wrong, useless, and impure thoughts, and cultivating toward perfection the flowers, the fruits of right, useful, and pure thoughts. By pursuing this process, a man sooner or later discovers that he is a master gardener. And I thought that was really neat. And the director of his life. And I think, you know, think about that a minute. So many people today, when I hear them talk, and I've gotten to the point that I really have to be limited on what I watch on the news because they show too many people complaining. Mm-hmm. You know, if they got somebody that they're putting a mic in their face, and the point is that no matter your circumstances, no matter where you are, you can start anew from whatever spot you are. It's harder. It's tough. But the bottom line is your thought process will dictate the direction that you go. If you feel defeated and like there's no hope, you're going to be defeated and hopeless. If you feel like, yeah, things are pretty bad, I've gotten a raw deal, but you know what? Despite my circumstances, I know that I can obtain something. I'm smarter than this, and I'm going to go do it. And then they do it. Isn't that interesting? What do you think, Scott?
Well, you know, when you talk about books and things of this nature, it makes me think, because there's always a big discussion about free speech. And something dawned on me the other day that I think is fascinating is that if somebody says something that you agree with, then it doesn't need protecting because you agree with it. Popular speech doesn't need protecting. It's popular. The majority already likes what it is. But if somebody says something you disagree with, you immediately want to shut it down. Shut it down, shut it off, put it away, get that away from me.
And I think that goes for whatever group and whatever thought it is. It doesn't mean that it's one group, you know, over another. I really believe, I have to realize sometimes, you know, as a pastor of a church and shepherd of a flock, I have to, and a man that believes in the Word of God and its inerrancy and follows it, there are certain things I like, and there are certain things I dislike, and there are certain things I wish weren't out there, and there are certain things that are out there whether I wish they were or whatnot. One thing we have to understand about our country and its freedom is I should have the freedom to believe and to teach and to say what I believe. And you know what? So should Joe over there that completely disagrees with me. That's the country in which we live. That's how it functions the way that it should. But the problem that we run into is when one group or the other says your thought's not welcome here at all. And especially in the public forum, it's real interesting. People, this talk of separation of church and state, which has really never been in the Constitution, and it really came originally from a letter that was written by Franklin, and it was in response to a man that was concerned of the government stepping in too far into his church. He says, no, 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 that separation needs to be there or that won't happen. The separation of church and state was meant to keep two things from happening, from the government taking control of the church and the church becoming the government. So there we are. It didn't mean that you had to keep the church out of public forum. That was an intricate part of our growing process in this country. It's really funny. One of the books that Frank and I were looking at the other day, it was the public school book of hymns and songs, and I just got a kick out of it because every song in it was a song about God, about church, about Christianity, and it was written for, and it was a public school book. So I'm saying it's always been there because it was a huge part of our culture when we started the country. It wasn't absolute. It's not like everybody was a Christian, but it was a huge part. So what I'm getting at is that I really feel that, you know, to shut the voice out of the public forum, if it has anything to do with religion, I don't think was the way it was ever meant to be. Because then what happens is the voice that gets approval is secular. And believe it or not, a secular atheistic belief is a religion of itself. So what you're doing is you're allowing a voice that is truly, because if you don't believe in God, you still have a God. It's called the God of chance. You believe in God. That's who you make your God. the God of chance. This happens by chance. And so, in a sense, it's still, too, is a religion.
Well, it's interesting, and I can only speak to what I see in Marion City schools here, because I like to see things firsthand. When people give me anecdotes about, you know, well, in a school in Wyoming, and I think, well, have you been to Wyoming? What do you know about Wyoming?
Well, they see it on
the news. They see it on the news, and I've blocked it out. I've okay, well, go there and then let me know what's happening. But in Marion City schools, it's very interesting to me because, and Linda Sims is a big part of this group, but she didn't start it, but she has them on her program all the time. And
After School Bible Club?
That's what it is, but it's called something. And I know I'm going to get the
Evangelism Fellowship.
Yes, that's it. And
we support that also.
And it happens in the school building. Marion City School Building allows it to happen in their buildings. Absolutely. And they send the papers home that they sign up papers. The schools, the teachers...
Yeah,
make it available.
The only way to do it is kind of like with our backpack program. They have to send the papers home. They don't handle the food personally. I mean, what I mean is they don't put it together and they don't endorse it, so to speak. But here's the problem we run into, and Child Evangelism Fellowship has that problem too, because of protection laws. You can't just give a list of students and addresses to a group. Here it is. So how are you going to get to those students? How are you going to let the students know something's there? The only way that it can happen is for a public service announcement to go home, and that's technically what it is. And all kinds of service announcements go out. The United Way, given the United Way, may get slipped into their book bags one day. So that's why I guess we're legally okay to do that.
But, you know, if it'd be interesting, though, if you would put, and I'm going to a far side here, but if you would put anti-Semitic a Nazi group together, and you would say send that home as a public service announcement in the school bags, I don't think it would happen.
Well, let me tell you when it would. It would when that's accepted by the community as a whole. I think that we have to understand that, yes, and I understand that argument, okay? I get that argument. Just like there was a school, I heard about it on the news the other day, that school started that was they were having an after-school satanic club. And, you know, it's like, you're kidding me, they're going to allow that? Well, the bottom line is, okay, if they're not going to allow it, why aren't they going to allow it? But I think that we have to understand is that still, as a country, as a nation, and as people, as voters, as citizens, we still hold the, yes, we're in charge. Okay, and if things are regionally, they're by cities, they're by counties, they're by states, they're by districts, by all those things. So a lot of this stuff still goes to what's acceptable in your community. If there was a huge ruckus come up about one of these things, it will probably stop, because it has stopped. And there's some, I know of a school right now, we tried to get Fellowship of Christian Athletes in, which is there's no reason not to get it in. Constitutionally, we have no problem getting it in. But the school found a way to not do it. They found some loopholes to not do it. But there are some other clubs they have in there that are secular, questionable clubs to many. But that's okay, because they feel their culture in their area is going to accept that. And I think that what happens is, if we were in a culture where we were in an area where a lot of satanic churches were in activities, they probably would send it home, and there wouldn't be that big a backlash, because everyone knows, well, there's a church there, and a church there, and a church there. So that's kind of how that is. Now, with the Backyard Bible Club and with Child Evangelism Fellowship, everything is done after school. It's not school endorsed. It's not taught by the teachers. It's not funded by the school. It's not funded by the state. And because that is a public building that we pay taxes on, many groups are allowed to use it after school.
You know, it's interesting, though, and I just know this because of dealing with Terry Tackett, they will keep pro wrestling out of schools. They will turn you down. They will say, because we are afraid you will damage the building. Now, this is scripted. Pro wrestling is not real. You're not coming in because...
Hey, I don't know. But you see...
So they do have the right to turn things down.
If Randy Savage was from Elgin School District, there's a strong possibility he gets a match.
Oh, absolutely.
You see what I mean? Everything's regional different. We govern where we are, and that's a lot of it. You know, we are pretty much, if you look at northern Marion County in general, Marion County is pretty much a middle income, a lot of rural agriculture, a lot of Christian churches. They're not going to have a problem with this stuff as a whole, and it's not going to be a big pushback. But some areas now, if you try to do the same thing in Worthington, you're going to get a battle. You see what I mean? But when we look at what Child Evangelism Fellowship does, they're basically and essentially just using the building. They're not encouraging it. They've got to have their own teachers. Their teachers have to be trained. Another thing that's important, too, is that when you work in the school, even in an after-school program, I don't know if you know this, everyone has to have a background check done, which I think is fantastic that they do that, you know, to protect kids that are in that building. But it's ultimately up to the parent that says, yes, my child will stay for this, or yes, my child won't. And all the schools are doing is allowing that notice to go home. And they would do it for many groups and many businesses, selling candy bars, whatever. And so I think it's important to look at it that way. But what I'm talking about is when we have an audience that is in front of us, an audience that has no choice but to be there. And that's why I believe that a lot of the things, the secular things being taught in school, there has to be that room for other thought to come in and talk. This is all about how we think. Scott, I could teach you, I could sit down with you, and I could teach you everything there was to know about the Bible. And I could tell you it was right, and I believe it, and it's right, and if you don't believe it, you're wrong. And someone else could be teaching you that, you know, everything is, there is no God, or you know, whatever, that whole gambit of what's believed there. But it's ultimately up to you and your mind what you're going to decide is right or wrong and believe it.
And
that's the way it should be.
Well, that's right. And that to me is the interesting part to people's objection to objectionable things, is that if somebody says something, you know, what was her name? Madeline Marie O'Hare, most hated woman in America. She went around, first really commercial atheist who went on television and radio, and she liked being called that, and she liked to go on and debate ministers. She liked that sort of thing. And they called her that, most hated woman in America. But yet, if you didn't believe what she believed, she wasn't going to change your mind. You might have found her entertaining, but she wasn't going to change your mind. And that's what I don't understand when people get so bent out of shape that somebody says something that they don't agree with. I think, do you think they're convincing other people? I don't think they're convincing other people.
I think, Scott, in America, we're in a little different place than in other countries. And let me explain what I mean by that. America is something we used to be taught a lot, and I don't know that it's how heavily it's taught today, not by any reason, I just don't know if it is or not. But we talked an awful lot when I was growing up in history and geography and everything, that the United States of America was a huge melting pot. Remember that term? We're a huge melting pot of all these people that come from different areas. Well, because of that, it has given us as a country the green light for extreme inclusiveness, okay? Like there's no real separate, you're not supposed to be separated. Now, even though people came out, and if you go into Columbus, you know, I can show you where they are. There was German Village, Italian Village,
Victorian Village,
where all these secular groups came together. They lived there, but they intermingled. Well, because of that, the church over years and from its inception, and even the it wouldn't be the church, but it would be the religious from prior to the church age, you had people that believed this, and here they were, and you had what they would call pagans, or people that rejected God and did all these, I mean, a lot of the stuff historically, some pretty freaky immoral stuff. You think they do weird stuff today? Trust me, they did some really bad stuff back then. But anyway, they were always there. You couldn't get away from them. They were there. But you didn't feel the need to associate heavily with them and be part of them. The thing that's happened in our culture here is that people have felt the need for everybody to be the same. So therefore, I want to take all my beliefs, and I'm going to spend all my time with you. You're going to be my good friend, and I'm going to run with you, and we're going to go to the same things. But I want you to believe what I believe. And if you don't believe it, I'm going to be really upset. And it works both ways. It doesn't matter if you're a secularist or if you're a religious person. It works both ways. Secularists want us to accept and take everything. We've changed the term of tolerance, not to mean, like it's always meant, that, look, I don't agree with what you do, but I'm not going to stop you from doing it. We've changed that to mean, you know, if you tolerate it, it means that it's okay and it's acceptable. That's not what the word means. Tolerance, I'm all for tolerance because I want people to tolerate me if they don't agree with me. And they don't have to accept what I believe. So I think where we're at, Scott, in this country is we have a lot of people trying to live together and want everyone else to believe what they believe. Whereas in the past centuries, we have, okay, we believe this here. Kind of like the Amish community. The Amish community, they believe what they believe, and they're not going to come in to prospect and force you to believe what they believe. They believe what they believe. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, the Bible tells us to evangelize the world, to tell people the truth. It doesn't tell us to shove it down their throats and force them to believe it. It tells us to share the good news. And it's up to you to accept it or to reject it. And at that point, then if you reject it, if you're going to live totally different than I expect you to live, then it's up to me to pull back. I mean, God even, you know, in the Bible even talk about Paul, where Paul was told he was traveling from city to city teaching and preaching. He says, shake the dust off your sandals and move on if they don't want to listen to you. And I think that we just try too hard today to make everybody the same, and we're not, and we'll never be.
Well, and I think that's the conflict. I think that the biggest thing that's been lost in the last 40 to 50 years is that...
respect.
Well, there's that, but the respect used to be, I will disagree with what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it.
To the nth.
Yeah, but that's gone.
It shouldn't be, though.
Well, I don't know, because almost everybody I know, I don't know, it's an argument. We want to argue. We want to disagree. And as you just said, we can be friends, but you've got to agree with everything I say, or else we're not going to be friends. Well, we're at that point now. We've gone so far past, I don't agree with... You know, I think about every...
Totally polarized in this country.
Yeah, but I think about every movement that was ever accomplished, ever succeeded, whether you agree with the movement or not.
Done voluntarily.
Well, done with the help of outside people who it had no impact on. That they were not the group being oppressed or denied or pushed. They just said, I'm not going to stand by. I don't necessarily agree with this, and my neighbor probably doesn't agree with me
up. We would have never had the Emancipation Proclamation if there wasn't a group of people that said,
right,
I'm not a slave. I've never been in
exactly.
But I'm not tolerating what I see those poor people going through.
Do you see anybody getting involved in any cause that has no impact on them?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of it.
I see it every day. But you got to be plugged in to see it.
Now, give me an example of one.
I'll give you a great example. A great example is that we got two of them now in Marion, and they're in several cities around now. The Hope Center. Those people are ministering to pregnant women. They're helping them. They're teaching them. They're providing for them. They're ministering in a way of teaching them how to be parents. And what's it doing for those people that do it?
Well, but I mean, they're involved to a degree.
They're not pregnant.
No, but they're in the center. What I'm saying is, somebody who doesn't have, they're not volunteering there. They don't go there. They're not pregnant. They have nothing. They don't even know the name of the place, but they want it to succeed, not because it's what they believe. It's because what they think, that's what society should be.
Okay.
I don't see a lot of that anymore.
That's just kind of probably some of the hospitals that some people don't don't necessarily believe in Shriners Hospital would be a good example. I know a lot of people that donate to that that completely disagree and don't like the Masons whatsoever. But because of what they do at that hospital, they do that. And I think there are a lot of people that there are so many people that get involved. I know personally of so many ministries that are done to reach people that, A, no one will ever know that you're the one doing it. B, there's nothing those people are going to do that are ever going to affect you. I know a lady, for instance, that she's not an American Indian, doesn't have any Indian blood in her. But every year, she collects coats all year, and she pays for a truck to ship them to an Indian reservation. She doesn't belong to any organization. She doesn't. It's just something she does. And I think that is part of our American culture. You know, when we have, we're the only nation, and that's why it really bothers me when people trash this nation. We're still the only nation that it doesn't matter the disaster in the world. We immediately send aid, whether they're an ally or not.
Well, this is just a quick story because it's timely, is that, you know, Betty White just died. And I have never heard it. I don't like Betty White. Everybody likes Betty White. Betty White's great. She's wonderful. Okay. And she lived in 99, and I, God bless her. But there is a story in Betty White's career that was not told a lot when she died, and it in the early days of her career, when she first went on television in the 50s, she did a show out in Los Angeles, and one day she had an African-American dancer on. And it was a nationally syndicated show. And the people from the southern stations came to her and said, "We will drop your show if you dance. A white woman does not dance with a black man on that show. We don't do that in Alabama." Now, here's Betty White's doing this show in California. She didn't face that in California, but she's facing that with these stations. And she said, "Well, drop us then. Go ahead."
Okay.
But the point is, what I'm saying, she wasn't involved in that. Betty White was not a civil rights activist. Betty White, she just wanted him because she thought he was the best dancer. And in California, that was okay. And when the problem came to her, and they said, "Well, we're going to drop you if you don't get him off the show," she said, "No, he's the best dancer. I'm having him on the show." That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it does.
I'm waiting to see it.
Now
people say, "Take that off, or I'm taking that off." It's the cancel culture we live in now.
We live in a cancel culture. What if Joe Biden said, "I am going to put the most qualified person on the Supreme Court. I don't care if they're pink, blue, or purple."
Right. But I think that's political. I don't think anybody knows how Betty White voted.
We do.
Do we?
She was unbelievably political. You didn't see any of the campaign ads and the stuff she did in the ARP. I mean, I got a phone call from Betty White back when Hillary Clinton and Trump were running against each other. I got a recorded phone call from Betty White telling me to please come out and support Hillary Clinton.
Well, I heard her in an interview asked about that, and she said, "I it doesn't interest me. Politics don't."
I still remember. I was at my daughter's house, and the phone rang, and I picked it up. "Hi, this is Betty White," blah, blah, blah. Unless it was someone disguised.
Well, that's why I say it could have been, because I know she tried very hard to stay very much out.
But people do stand up for people on a regular basis. I think we just have to look for it. We have to not look for the bad and look for the good. It's out there, believe me. I can tell you, I'm one of those people that I may not agree with you, but unless it's something grossly immoral or egregious, which we all should condemn, mm-hmm, I will defend your right to say what you believe, to do what you do, to sell what you sell, to be willing to have a store that reaches, you know, if you have a store and the only people you're going to let in the front door are going to be people that agree with your group of thinking, you know, fine. Go do it. You're going to lose business over here. If you want to be that select, do it. And I think that we just need to be more free to be who we are, but defend the rights of other people to do what they do. And this is America. This is why America was made the way it was, because people were being persecuted for things that the state government said, "No, you're not going to do that. You're only going to do this, and for this reason or that reason." And this is why we have the liberty and the freedom we have today. And even though, Scott, you may say or do something I don't agree with, I defend your right to the nth to say it. And we're not seeing that. We have let our government and our political parties get way too divided, and for some reason, you realize it's the American people that have the ability to vote them out and say, this isn't what we want. We need to go back to a representative form of government. We've lost our representative form of government because even though somebody will run on certain promises, what they're going to do in their district with their constituents, once they get to Washington, they may flip it completely on its head and start dealing with lobbyists and all these kind of things. Those people need to go, and we need to locally hold our politicians accountable, statewide hold our politicians accountable, and nationally hold them accountable to what they said they would do is the reason I went to the poll and I voted for them or I did.
I'll tell you something funny about this, on a state level. The other day, you know, end of last week, the big story was the microchip factory coming to Ohio.
Yeah, and people complaining about that.
This is interesting. This fascinating because it went both ways. In the span of a week, this story has went both ways because the first thing was, isn't this great? Isn't this great? This is the best thing since Honda. Then, early in the week, the news stories and also people calling into this station who just live here started saying, now why is Mike DeWine out in front of that every time there's a picture taken, every time somebody's shaking a hand?
Politician, the governor of our state.
And for re-election in about 6 months.
Exactly.
So then it became...
conspiracy.
But did you see the front of the paper yesterday, interestingly enough, where it said, Mike DeWine will not talk about the tax abatements or the breaks that were given to this microchip factory. Now, if he's perfectly fine with the deal that was made... and he doesn't care, and it's not going to... If this is the greatest thing in the world, and nobody will care, why won't he tell us what tax abatements they got? Why won't he tell us what perks they got to come here? Why is he not saying that?
Because all that stuff's accessible anyway, and maybe the time he didn't want to say so, it'll all come out, and he'll say
right.
So.
And then he'll...
He just wasn't going to be...
He didn't want the headline to read, DeWine gives, but he wanted the headline, DeWine brings microchip factory here.
Right, because he was trying to avoid controversy in election time.
And he's a typical politician.
But the point is about the whole thing with this, we need microchips being made here. This is the reason for the holdup. I've got a friend that bought a huge piece of farm equipment, spent well over $100,000 on it. And it's still sitting at the dealership. He didn't even get to use it this year because the microchip that made the thing operate isn't here yet.
Now, what did we see coming into Marion today?
All the containers. They're starting to move again. But the point is, we need microchips here. They're already saying it's going to 7,000 construction jobs. Man, that's great. I don't know how they're going to fill them. You can't get people to go to work now.
I think what people are fearful of is that this will help him get reelected, and then it will never happen. I think that's the theory.
It's happening.
I don't know. I've seen that.
I like the promises that people make before. The problem with DeWine not getting reelected right now is I don't see a viable candidate out there.
I think in his primary, I think he's pulling 8 points behind. Now that
behind could, which one?
Renacci.
Renacci possibly, but you know. What's his name's dead
and
water.
I think I believe if President Trump supports Renacci, I think Mike DeWine can.
It could.
Bye bye.
You know who's that up to? That's up to the voters in Ohio.
Right, but I guess the timing is suspect of the microchip
thing,
and then not wanting to tell you what the tax abatements are.
Let me tell you something. Don't commit a crime in an area where a prosecutor's up for re-election.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, and
they're going to want all these convictions, prosecutions.
Right.
You know, hey, look, you know, there's some people that have gotten some raw deals because there were prosecutors up for election.
Well, I think that's the problem. This is what, you know, fit this in with the interest groups and everything else. Would this have been done? Would you have been willing to give that big a tax abatement? Would you have been willing to give this big of a
I'm not
well,
going to say.
Well, I don't know why you waited for election year.
Huh?
I don't know why he waited for election year.
Maybe that's when the deal came up.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
You're being the conspiracy theorist.
Not conspiracy. I just, I have a concern when he would not say what the tax abatement.
If the timing, he was being, look, you jump in the middle of somebody and you know, he's not ready. He hadn't had that speech written yet. And,
well,
and my point is, politicians have to, and I'm not supporting or not supporting, I'm just saying politicians, I don't care who you are, they have to be very careful what comes out of their mouth, as we know, we've seen that all over the place. And, you know, he said, Governor, tell us what, and he's like, I'm not ready for this. No,
he might not even know
the specifics.
Yeah.
And he might have to be in, you know, so let's just see how it plays out. It could be timing. Was it something he waited till now? I don't know. Maybe it was, but what politician doesn't do
that? And I won't even say the name, but it's a local person. And it's local politics this happens. There was something going on here in town, and every press release you got had the politician's name on it. Every single one. The politician was inviting you to do this. The politician did this. It was a nice event. It was great. So, but then, when you ask the politician any question about that,
didn't know a thing about it.
No, and would tell you, I'm not in charge of this. They're in charge of that. Well, if you don't know anything about it, stop sending me the press releases and stop taking pictures.
I agree.
And that's not the DeWine conspiracy. That's just my if you're going to get out there.
I'm just saying that just because he hadn't said anything yet does not mean that he won't, and the timing wasn't right. It means that you know, for whatever reason, he chose not to. And it could be very valid.
Well, I think it just goes back to me to remember the Vax-a-Million when he showed up at the house over here and presented the check. Now, no governor in the history of Ohio, I think, ever showed up with a check on somebody's door on national television. Well, one of those big...
He was really promoting vaccines.
Well, he was,
but... Which everyone on the left really wanted him to do at that time.
Well, exactly, but...
But he can't do anything right, can he?
But I think, again, those are all...
Something right is complained about.
Well, I don't know if that's... I don't know if it's right or wrong. I just think all of those things... You make a choice to go. You make a choice to show. You make a choice to get in the picture. You make a choice to be at the press conference. And when you make those choices, you're doing it for some kind of a reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing done without motive.
Right.
So let me get back to this. I only got a couple minutes left.
I know.
And we really got off target. Thought and character are one, and his character can only manifest and discover itself through environment and circumstance. The outer conditions of a person's life will always be found to be harmoniously related to their inner state. This does not mean that a man's circumstances at any given time are an indication of his entire character, but that those circumstances are so intimately connected with some vital thought element within him that, for the time being, they are indispensable in his development. In other words, whatever is in the mind, whatever you're dwelling on, is going to come out. Are we going to dwell on good things and positive things, or are we going to dig up dirt all the time and be negative? And then I want to turn to, if I just got a minute, this was great. How many people we know who sour their lives, who ruin all that is sweet and beautiful by explosive tempers, who destroy their poisoned character and make bad blood. It is a question whether the great majority of people do no ruin to their lives and mar their happiness by a lack of self-control. How few people we meet in life who are well-balanced, who have the exquisite poise which is characteristics of the finished character. I love that. You know, your character comes out in who you are. If you're a character that always wants to find bad, that's where you're going to go. And that's what's going to come out of you. And it's not going to be that character that other people aspire to be. The goal that we should have in life is to live a kind of life that I believe is a Christ-like life, that other people aspire to have that and do that. And that gives you the opportunity to share why you're the way you are and who you are, from a pure heart, not what we were just talking about, to get ahead and to get an edge. And that person can either accept that or they can reject that. I pray they accept it, but many times they reject it. We can't control that. And I can't control that person, but I respect that person's right to say, I don't want any part of this, and walk away. I saw something the other day, a commercial blew my mind. I'd never seen anything like this. And it was Ron Reagan Jr., and he said, "Hi, I'm Ron Reagan Jr. I am a devout and an unashamed atheist." And he wanted you to contribute to a fund that was going to try to get religion out of everything, everywhere. And I had to ask the question, why is he doing this? First of all, you know, it was his father that said, you know, when we stop being one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. So obviously his father felt different and had and would like a different legacy. Why are you doing this? So then you have to go back, where's his character that says that he needs to assassinate what his father firmly believed in and be that divisive? And so I just say that, you know, we really have to think about, I'm going to close with this. You'll never get ahead on the next rung of the ladder without having an attitude to do so. And until we change our attitude, I've got a book that's called Lord, Change My Attitude Before It's Too Late. And until we change our attitude in a positive direction, we can never expect to go that way.
And we have about 10 seconds left, so we will let you know that WWGH1071.com is the website.
God bless you.
All right. Have a great week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the